I'm always very moved by the phrase that's in our vows themselves of Our Lady, cause of our joy. And it is the root and foundation of the birth of the Missionaries of Charity and subsequently of our lay branch. And so one of the most interesting experiences that I had when we went over for the General Assembly was there was a person from Australia, Rosalind Schirkel. She had been working in Calcutta for years with Mother Teresa directly. She was the in charge for Sunday. Mother Teresa would have a sister who would be basically forming the schedule for Mother each of the days of the week, and Rosalind's work and turn happened to be on Sundays. And when I went over to Rome to do the presentation on Father's letters as being a key piece, his foundational letters being a key piece of our formation, I was in the mother house. We had the place where we all stayed and rested. I was just reflecting over my notes of the statutes united to the letters. And this woman walked in, because she was, you know, assigned to the room that we were all staying in. I had never met her. It was Rosalind. She looked at me with my papers in front of me, and she asked, you know, she said hello, and she introduced herself, and she asked what I was doing, and I said, I'm sharing one of the talks on Father Sebastian's letters and how they are so nourishing to help us understand who we are as lay missionaries of charity, because he was so bonded in his relationship with Mother. They said of each other, we know each other by heart, and he's our founder, and these are his, literally, in the Italian edition, the subtitle his letters to the LMC is as a series of love letters. I don't know the words in Italian, but I just love the concept of the series of love letters. So because I encountered Rosalind, or she just happened to walk in just then, and she was curious about what I had written, she asked if she could read it. And I said, of course. And actually, the only person that had read it was my youngest son, Kevin, before it came over. Kevin was at the time 26 years old. And Kevin said, oh, that's good, Mom. So it was sweet. But at any rate, the point of the story, though, is that when Rosalind came back, I didn't know when she walked off with the talk that she had spent so many years with Mother. I didn't know she was in the Mother House. I didn't know she had such a history. She came back in and she thanked me for what I had prepared. She asked me if I had ever lived in Calcutta, and I said, oh no. Was I ever an MC sister? And I said, oh no, no, I'm married with three kids and I'm an art teacher in a public school, you know, so no. And she said that I had captured the life, but she said, and this is the point of the story and what was most important, she said there was one thing missing from the talk. When I said, Rosalind, what is that? And she said, Mother always and everywhere said, to Jesus through Mary. And so I inserted that into the talk. But it was beautiful for me to learn from Rosalind, because she had lived so intimately the life. And it was actually, in the moment of her sharing that, a beautiful lesson for me personally. And it deepened my appreciation for Our Lady, cause of our joy. It was very, very precious to my heart because of Rosalind. And Rosalind had, she had been an MC sister for a long time, but then she had a car accident and she had to no longer be, she was no longer able to be an MC, so she went back to Australia. She was so moved by the lay missionaries of charity when she was with us in Rome, she made the decision to become a lay missionary of charity. And when we had the meeting in Los Angeles, which I forget the year, but it was the one in Montebello, several retreats back, she flew from Australia to Los Angeles to make her LMC vows. And she was the most long-distance traveler, and it was precious. She was so excited. She was so joyful. She was not, as I said, able to remain an MC, but it was deeply in her heart to remain part of the life, and she continued to express that as a lay missionary of charity. So, very precious story. What I'm going to share today, and I actually handed you the complete talk is in your hands. I spent 40 years as an art teacher, but I guess it's because I'm so visual. But I also like to learn both by seeing and hearing, and you know, literally holding it in your hand. I'm going to share the teaching with you today, but you'll also be able to, as I speak, you see the words there, you can refer to them, you won't have to take notes. You probably have seen me during this retreat with my pens out. I'm constantly writing every word that Father Boniface says, even though I know he records them. But it's sometimes nice to just relax and listen. And one of the things that we do in our group when we're sharing the letters of Father Sebastian is we gather together. We have each of us his most recent letter, or if we're going back into the archives of the MC train, we can take a historic letter. And we sit in a gathering of a circle, and we take turns by paragraphs reading his letters together. I always use the analogy of that it reminds me of the two choirs of the Liturgy of the Hours, because when you're reading in the choirs, you have the meditative pause where you're not actually reading, and then you have the time in which you're the person reading. And so the rhythm of that is beautiful. But what we've discovered is that in the hearing, and again, holding and seeing of Father Sebastian's letters, as you hear the members of your group saying the words, it deepens your focus, it deepens your meditative appreciation of the letters, and it feels very deeply every time we do it, as if the Holy Spirit is extremely present to us. And then when we complete the letter, we dialogue and share of which portions of the letter were meaningful to us and how we apply what he's taught us to our lives. Just before I came here, in the last several weeks, I've been in an ongoing project of taking... Father Sebastian has his two volumes, in which it's the complete edition of everything he's written to us since 1984. So his letters in the two-volume edition are the 1984 to 2009. It reminds me of the Carmelites. They have the complete editions of the letters of St. Therese of Lisieux, Volume 1 and Volume 2. So we have the letters of Father Sebastian, Volume 1 and Volume 2, and it's precious. He took at one point, at the centenary year of Mother's birth, he gathered together in a single volume the letters that he culled from the full body of his work, that he considered the most essential, not that they're not all essential, but there's certain letters that are particularly precious. First among them, the letter that was literally called the MC Train. He gathered those together, and he organized them chronologically, but he also grouped them. And if you look at what you're holding in your hand in the packet at the very, I think it's the very last page, excuse me? I don't know how many copies they ran off. Are there any more in the back? But in the far back of your packet, there's a chart. And I don't have actually the chart in the copy I have in front of me, but there's a chart. And on the, it was actually prepared by Joe and Mary Kaczynski of Austin working together. They took the table of contents of the single edition, centenary edition, and they took the table of contents of the two volume that we have, and they put them side by side, because most of us have the two volume edition, most of us want to have the full complete edition of Father's letters. But this gives you the opportunity to see on this chart form, on the left-hand column, the letters that our founder himself selected as being the priority for study, if that makes sense to you. So we begin with those when we are studying, and we return to those, we revisit them more often, because some of them are so classic. For example, Mother Teresa, the Eucharist and the Poor. You know, these are precious letters. And then also in the back of your booklet is a page from our General Assembly in which we set up the structure of what exactly is formation and how is it organized as far as the thinking part of it. And it is the statutes united to the letters of the founder. And then in addition to that, we have the teachings of the spiritual directors over time, including Father Boniface, including Monsignor Essif, including the various priests who have taught us at our retreats all over the world. So with that as a preface, the three things that I want to focus on as I share this teaching with you are to emphasize three things in particular, are the call by God himself to each and every one of us, individually and also communally. God called each and every one of us, prepared us for the life of lay missionaries of charity, and called us together. The second thing, first being the call itself, the second thing is the bond of love, the fact that we're called into our own personal families, our spouses, our children, our parents, our physical blood relatives. But the bond of love also embraces our spiritual family, and that's all of us. And the third thing is Mother's founding grace, the purpose for which we were called into the life, the purpose for which we were called together in the life. And the language that Christ said to Mother was to love, to suffer, and to save souls. So we were called by God, as Father Boniface described, most personally, most particularly, and most lovingly, gathered together in a family, as I was saying at lunch the other day when Denise Poulin took the Book of Ruth and said, wherever you go, I will go. Your family will be my family. And, you know, she said, you'll be in my heart always. We will always be family. That's true of all of us. That's the bond of our strength. That's our joy when we're together. It's our joy when we actually cannot physically see each other. We're still bonded in prayer. And that's our strength when we endure suffering and pain, because we need all of that in the family setting. Formation is a process. It's lifelong. And one thing to keep in mind is that, as Susie said, we're Mother Teresa's grandchildren. And we're the first generation of LMCs. So those are some things to keep in mind as far as frame of reference. So now I'm going to read you a story, and the story you hold in your hands. So you can just rest, relax, and listen to me share this with you, or you can look at the words if it's easier for you. And I was taking the first part of the statutes themselves when I began. And I can remember when I was first in LMC, Father was quoting from Familiaris Consortio, and his phrase was, family become, become what you are. And I can remember when I read that for the first time as a new LMC, family become what you are. It was kind of a mysterious sentence to me. Become what you are. Because as I'll begin to read this to you, it's an interesting pairing of language. So we'll begin. In the opening chapter of the Statutes of the Lay Missionaries of Charity, we find this quote, "Family, become what you are." Reflecting on the words, one discovers a paradoxical pairing of future tense and the present. The statutes in their opening thoughts encourage the soul to recognize both the dignity of the domestic church and the reality of relationship, family, ourselves within our families, our relationship to the Holy Family, our place in the family of the Church. We are presented at the very outset with the bond of love. In the closing of the statutes, at the very end, at the epilogue, and I find it interesting that Father Sebastian is so deep and he's so immersed in Scripture. I can remember when we were at the first national meeting in Carmel, Indiana, whenever each of us would go to him for confession, he would give us each a scripture, as many priests do. But he was so specific in each of us marveled at his specificity of what he gave to us to meditate upon. And so, he'd be all through the Bible. He wouldn't just use one particular passage from Scripture to give to each person that came. Each one had a most particular one and very special. And it wasn't at first that I realized that the quote that he gave me was from St. Lawrence, and I'm Laurie, and it was Lawrence. And I mean, that didn't hit me at first because I didn't recognize it, but the one he asked me to meditate upon my whole life was, God loves a cheerful giver, and over time it has been very precious. But the epilogue of the statutes, the very last portion of our statutes, was his summation of everything he was saying to us in all the pages that he prepared. And he has told us in person on various retreats that he was studying the documents of Vatican II and was almost overwhelmed by the volume of information on the call to holiness for the laity. But this very closing summative piece is very profound, and it bears sitting within the quiet more than once. In the closing of the statutes, the epilogue, we find the glorious passage from Ephesians 3:14 through 21. It bears listening to again with the ear of the heart, and it is a culmination and a reality for us as lay missionaries of charity, because it is to this profound beauty that we are called. This is what I pray, kneeling before the Father, from whom every family, whether spiritual or natural, takes its name. Out of his infinite glory, may he give you the power through his Spirit for your hidden self to grow strong, so that Christ may live in your hearts through faith, and then, planted in love and built in love, you will with all the saints have strength to grasp the breadth and length, the height and depth, until knowing the love of Christ, which is beyond all knowledge, you are filled with the utter fullness of God. Glory be to him whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory be to him from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. And essentially, this is our purpose and our goal. It's to what we are headed. We are called, as Father Sebastian has so often taught us and impressed upon us, by God himself. And we are called to holiness in our lives, in our families, and in blooming where we're planted, contemplatives in the heart of the world. Our LMC formation is built upon the study and reflection on the LMC statutes, united to the study of the general letters of the founder, Father Sebastian. Our life rests and is built in strength upon the MC charism, rooted in Mother's founding grace and in the gift of Our Lady, cause of our joy, and in the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts. These phrases that follow can be a point of departure for reflection and a focal point around which we can weave a deeper understanding of the call and of the life and of our purpose. And what I did is I did a distillation of the letters over the arc of the quarter century. Actually, Bill would be watching the baseball game and I'd have my highlighter pens.
And I'd be going through Father's letters, and I had it color-coded because I'm an art teacher, and I'd start with the yellow, and then I'd do a layer of orange because it was either repeated or deeper, and then I'd use a layer of pink for Our Lady, and I just kind of went through the whole thing. And as Jo will tell you, because she went through the books in a similar way, there's certain themes that repeat and certain themes that are so central that you can use them as anchor points when you study and when you, as a group with your spiritual director, determine which letters you want to visit next. And as you have them in front of you and they're in bold, these are the phrases that came out in Technicolor. The first among them, Mother's words, to Jesus through Mary. Lord, teach me to pray. I can remember when we met Father Sebastian in Carmel, many of us went up to him to ask him, because we were, you know, LMC's contemplative, we were new to this, and we really wanted to learn from him. And I can remember asking him, Father, how do you deepen your prayer life? How do you grow more fully in your prayer life? And that's exactly what he said to me, those five words. Lord, teach me to pray. So, from God himself. The call into the LMC life. Father Boniface has repeated, Father Sebastian has repeated. You know yourself from your life experience that so many things brought you to this space of being an LMC. And it could have started very early on. Always is deepened, never stops. The guidance of the Holy Spirit within the framework of our study. Father Sebastian, when he writes the letters to us, sits in front of the Blessed Sacrament, goes into the quiet, listens in his heart, takes the fullness of who he is intellectually, the fullness of who he is historically, his work as a priest, the fullness of his being. But when he writes, so many parts of his letters, aside from the historic ones, are deeply that he's a vehicle for sharing with us. Silence, which speaks for itself. And then Nazareth, which is where Father is right now. The 30 years that Christ spent in Nazareth, that no one knows the mystery of what happened in those 30 years. We can imagine, but it was Mother Teresa herself who said, make your home another Nazareth. It was her rootedness in who and why we existed as LMCs. The Holy Family and the Bond of Love, which is a continuation of the meditation on Nazareth itself. Love endures all things. Love hopes all things. That's the hymn to charity, Corinthians. The pattern of holiness are LMC statutes united to the letters of the founder, the cross, the foundational entrustment by Christ from the cross of John to Our Lady. Mary is more mother than queen. I love that phrase of St. Therese. Mother's founding grace itself, in which Christ himself said to her, to love, to suffer, and to save souls. The next four are articulating the words we use all the time. The person who defined them is Father John Harden, who worked for many years very closely with Mother Teresa. And I love his language because he's so precise and very clear. Compassion is to suffer with. Joy is sorrow transformed. I love Father Harden's definition of love. Love is willing the good of another. It's such a clear way of understanding when sometimes love can be difficult. Love is willing the good of another. Charity is an infused grace. God gives us the strength. God gives us the power in the Eucharist, in his word, to give us the ability to act in love. And our fourth vow, which is both contemplation, which is the wellspring of it, and the giving of ourselves in action. The sentence, let us love until we die of love, is Father Sebastian said that sentence at the First National Meeting in Carmel. he was teaching us throughout that retreat on that particular phrase, and is from St. John of the Cross, but it was also quoted, Father Sebastian was quoting St. Teresa of Lisieux, who was quoting St. John of the Cross. It was like this lineage, and I love the lineage. I did not understand at first, nor do I still understand, because it's so profound, what is the death of love? It's what Christ did from the cross, that part I do understand. But it is profoundly deep. It is the full and entire giving over of yourself in completeness. And when Father Sebastian taught us that on the weekend, it stayed with me ever since. You probably have seen many times, if I send you something, I'll put it on the bottom many, many times. And then Mother's Classic, You Did It to Me. So those are anchor points from which they're a sure and solid frame of reference from which you can organize in your particular place the order in which you share your learning and your growth with your spiritual director. Reflecting on the fact that we are living the years of the first generation of the Lay Missionaries of Charity, it can be useful to consider our history in the framework of time, which is by way of saying we are so very new in the history of the church. The time of the life of Christ can be considered in millennia. The history of most religious orders in terms of centuries, for example, the passing of centuries since the time of the Benedictines, the Franciscans and Dominicans, the Jesuits, the Carmelites, and others. For our lay branch, the Lay Missionaries of Charity, a simple quarter century. Since our first international chapter, in which our LMC statutes were affirmed, hardly a decade. There are institutes for the study of religious life and history in the church which have been analyzing and synthesizing their charisms for decades and longer. As Lay Missionaries of Charity, with our unique charism and the MC fourth vow of wholehearted and free service to the poorest of the poor, our way of life is solidly founded, dynamic, rooted, and yet is being lived in the first and present generation, that being in our lifetime. It's a very profound grace to be among the first generation of a lay branch of a religious order. It's very precious. In lived experience, each of us is living the life with fidelity. Each of us living the life with fidelity has experienced LMC as a sure path to holiness, and so we grow. Once, in reflecting on the length of formation for Lay Missionaries of Charity and affirming the first 2 years of study, Father Sebastian smiled and said, LMC formation continues until 15 minutes after we enter heaven. I mused with him once on what learning and teaching takes place in those heavenly 15 minutes in the presence of Christ in glory. And he only smiled. In our groups, we have taken the statutes and read them and reread them and lived and shared and revisited them. It is a beautiful reality that there is always something fresh and new to consider in studying our statutes as we, all of us, continue to grow in grace and in wisdom with the passage of time. Our understanding of the statutes deepens as we deepen in our spiritual life. We grow in our appreciation of them as we ourselves grow in grace and holiness. These following phrases are, to me, among the most beautiful in our statutes. On prayer, the Lord himself will teach us. Contemplation of divine things and assiduous union with God in prayer is our first duty. The celebration of the Eucharist is the center of our life. The consecration on behalf of the poorest, together with Mary, the mother of Jesus. The cross, no greater love. Remain faithful to your call. Be one in heart, one in mind, one in soul, on your way to God. Father Sebastian has emphasized and often represented to us that it is God who calls us into the life of a lay missionary of charity. Who can understand this? Who can fathom the profound reality of the gift? We can only trust and live our lives in a deep sense of gratitude. God uses all means to help us grow in holiness and prepares and provides for the fullness of our union with Him. When we listen deeply with the ear of our heart, and by the way, that's a Benedictine quote, which Father knows. The ear of our heart I robbed from St. Benedict. We can, from the silence, discern the way and the will. Our beginnings may surprise us. So can our middles, and none of us have lived yet all the overflowing gifts of God to our souls. We are meant to share these graces and this joy with others. Love is a net by which we can catch souls. The providence of God in our spiritual education can be disarming. I can remember being in college in New Haven in 1968, and by the way, at the time I was 18 years old. I was in the library perusing the stacks, and I should say as an aside, I wasn't born a Catholic. And I wasn't Catholic at the time. In fact, I wasn't anything, particularly as far as religion is concerned. I was in the library perusing the stacks rather randomly. This story is about the providence of God in preparing the soul. My hand came upon a book with what was for me at the time an unusual title. And I was on the first day teasing Father Boniface because I told him at the meal that when I first saw it, I thought it was a mountain climbing book, like with ice axes and crampons. I didn't know. The title was The Ascent of Mount Carmel, and I remember being intrigued by the author, St. John of the Cross, and I remember thinking, huh, it's an unusual name for a person who's going to climb a mountain. Intrigued, I read the whole book. I discovered in the reading that there was a whole world of the soul that I knew nothing about. It was a true revelation. I did not become Catholic until 1977, almost a decade later. But the purpose of the story, and we each have stories similar to this, is that God prepares. God provides, and our stories are not finished yet. Once in Rome at the Mother House at Via S. Agapito, and I love the fact that where the brothers live and Father lives is called the Mother House, I was walking toward the chapel and up the stairs with one of the MC brothers. There's the Casa Serena's at the bottom, lower level, and there's a set of stairs that goes up to the chapel where they have Mass. The MC brother was ahead of me on the stairs, literally and metaphorically, meaning that he was way ahead of me in grace, I'm sure. And he looked back over his shoulder, and he smiled at me, and he gestured with a broad expanse of his arm beyond the stairs and upward. And he said, of an ascending that would be beyond what my feet could do, the stairs continue. That was really deep on his part. Our growth in grace and in love, in life and in union with Christ, is like that. God leads us in the silence and guides us concretely through our statutes and the teachings of our spiritual directors, especially of our founder. We also learn and grow through life itself. Mass, our adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, liturgy of the hours, meditative reading, rosary, reflection. Not absent from our growth is the human experience of suffering and the cross. God uses everything. The letters of our founder, which form a key component of our study of our charism, are scriptural, historical, spiritual, and inspirational. Their content covers a wide range of narratives and teachings, and within them, there are key passages which are a rich resource for understanding our call, our work, our unity,
our community, and our purpose. The letters are organized into four parts, and those are on your chart. In the two-volume edition, the full scope of the letters from 1984 to 2009 are published. Our receiving of the letters of our founder continues, as does our study. These letters can be revisited, shared in a group setting by reading aloud and dialoguing, and used as a means for growth in holiness. Of particular note are these: the 1997 letter, Tribute to Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, which Father wrote upon her death. The Vatican radio interview, which is essentially a concise version of what is an LMC, because he was being interviewed by the Vatican, and he put it all. I often, when people are come and sees, I refer them to the Vatican radio interview, because it's all there. Mother's Founding Grace in the 2001 letter, Your Vocation is to Love, Suffer, and Save Souls. Father goes very deeply into the Mother's Founding Grace. The letter of 2003, A Joy to be Shared. The classic letter, The Eucharist, Blessed Teresa and the Poor. Yearning for God, which is the one in which he writes, Holy, love, yearning. I'm trying to remember what the first two were. I can't remember at the moment.
Humility.
Yes, thank you. Humility, obedience, love, and yearning. I have to go back and look at it again. Thirsty for God, thirstier for man, and the MC train, which is, that letter itself, as we know, is it's an arcing overview of the place of the missionaries of charity in the ark of the church. That's quite the letter. It can be useful to organize your group study with two mentor LMC teachers, working collaboratively as a team in presenting to the group or to individual LMCs. This structure of instruction is classic and modeled after the educational pattern of most religious orders. Before becoming an LMC, I was for 4 years a lay Dominican, and there were two teaching roles, one serving the novices and one serving the postulants. It helps when you have new people coming into your group and people who have been with your group a long time to be able to have very focused instruction for the level of experience. Two mentors paired together, working with a new or forming LMC, provides a dynamic model for interaction and sharing, modeled on the example of the Holy Family, the Three. Our study is augmented by the teachings of our spiritual directors from over the years and by the rich resources of the Church, including the encyclicals of the popes and the classics of the Church on contemplation. We are able to draw from a diverse range of sources, including the works such as Therese's Story of a Soul, in which there are beautiful passages on charity. It was Mother herself who took Saint Therese for her patron, and on the last day of Mother's life, in the last letter she ever wrote, it was of Saint Therese that Mother wrote, marveling at Saint Therese being made Doctor of the Church for doing extraordinary things with extraordinary love. Father Sebastian has often taught of the intertwining of the spirituality of Saint Therese and Blessed Teresa. To understand one is to understand more deeply the other. Therese said, "In the heart of the Church I will be love." As missionaries of charity, missionaries of love, our MC charism is deeply woven in this expression of the Spirit and harmonious with it. In a letter from Calcutta written in Eastertide of 1991, our charism is articulated in these words of Mother Teresa, which follow. Keep in mind the historic letter of 1947 to Archbishop Perrier, in which Mother, so early on, expressed the deep desire to pray for holiness of family life. Father Sebastian has called this Ascensol letter the Magna Carta of the LMCs. Years later, in this letter of 1991, these thoughts are in Blessed Teresa's heart. It is so beautiful that we MCs and you LMCs complete each other. What we are doing in the slums, maybe you cannot do what you are doing in your family life, in your home. We cannot do what you, but you and we are together doing something beautiful for God. What Jesus wants from you as an LMC is deep love for your own, compassion and forgiveness, loving to the very limit of love, the cross. I am praying for you that you make your home another Nazareth, where prayer and work, love and sacrifice fill your days. God bless you, Mother Teresa. God will always draw us deeper, launch into the deep, and be his love and his light to the people. Bring them joy, bring them your faith, be of deep hope. Family, become what you are to Jesus through Mary. Let us love until we die of love.